My goal today is that by the end of this teaching, you will know how the Holy Spirit is imparted. Okay? Very practical, but it's what really changes our life. So as we get into it this morning, the whole thing today is about impartation. So I wrote this down one time. All truth and no spirit, we dry up. All spirit, no truth, we blow up. And so, you know, dead, boring religion is with no spirit in it, just no thanks. But craziness with no order and no truth in it is also out of balance. So somewhere between those two things, there has to become a balance. So I always see it as the double, as an eagle. One wing is spirit, one wing is truth. And without both of those things, he is not going to get to where he needs to go. So in my life, I have imparted the Holy Spirit to tens of thousands of people all over the world through the laying on of hands. And that's the way that God intended for that to happen. And so we're going to talk about the laying on of hands today. We're going to look at biblical examples of it. We're going to talk about the gift of tongues today and how does that actually work. How can you walk away speaking in tongues today? Everybody in here can, I don't know if you do or don't, but you can walk away speaking in tongues today. You can receive an impartation from the people who have the gift. Well, guess what? We have that gift. And so we can impart it to you. Okay? So John 4:23, but an hour is coming, now is, when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For such people, the Father seeks to be his worshipers. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. So I always think about Jesus as being my example, right? So Jesus, did he have to get saved? Had he ever sinned? So he never sinned. So when was Jesus born of the Spirit? John 3 says that which is born of the flesh is flesh, that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. True, is true. That's what it says. And he says, don't marvel, you have to be Nicodemus, you have to be born again, right? So we call that salvation. We all get born again. So how did that work with Jesus? So you remember Gabriel said to Mary, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and that which is conceived in your womb will be birthed by the Holy Spirit. So because Jesus was birthed by the Holy Spirit, he did not have a sin nature as we do. So Jesus did not need to be born again or get saved, as John 3 says that we have to. Everybody agree? Okay. So we know that Jesus was birthed by the Holy Spirit. But we also know that Jesus went to John to get baptized. And then when he got baptized, what did the Father say?
This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased.
And what else happened? The Holy Spirit came down like a dove, right? And rested on Jesus. Now, you may not think that's significant, but that's the first picture that we have of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. So the word baptism simply means to be immersed, right? And so to be baptized in the Holy Spirit means to be immersed in the Holy Spirit. So Jesus was born of the Spirit, and Jesus was baptized in the Spirit. And right after that happened at his baptism, in Luke 4:14, it says, Jesus began his ministry in the power of the Holy Spirit. So Jesus did not begin his ministry until the Holy Spirit came and rested upon him. And so we call that the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Now, in a lot of churches, they don't believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And they do not practice or believe in spiritual gifts. And they actually teach that the gifts have all passed away. And they teach and believe that tongues is of the devil. You all ever heard that stuff? Right. Okay, so what was the purpose of spiritual gifts? Why did God give us the Holy Spirit and spiritual gifts?
Communication.
Yes. When Peter got baptized in the Holy Spirit, what did he do? He's walking to the temple. He saw a guy sitting there lame from birth. Grabbed his hand, said, "Silver and gold have I none, but get up." Right? So supernatural things happen after a person gets baptized in the Holy Spirit. That's when our ministry really should begin. It makes that much of a difference in our lives because that's when the gifts of the Holy Spirit begin to flow. And so why would the gifts pass away if we still need them to do evangelism? We still need all the gifts to do deliverance. We need all the gifts to even hear from God. The gifts had a purpose, and the gifts were given to do the work of the ministry. So we're born of the Spirit, then we receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and then Jesus began to do his ministry in the power of the Holy Spirit. And that's the way it ought to be with us. Okay? So I was a good Baptist guy. I was born again when I was 17. But in my early 30s, I was baptized in the Holy Spirit. So what I did, because I was taught all the way through Bible school and seminary, is these gifts had passed away. The baptism of the Holy Spirit wasn't for today. I took about a year, and I wrote down every verse I could find in the Bible about the Holy Spirit. And I went through every passage that had anything to say about the Holy Spirit. And I was convinced when I got done, I was convinced out of the Scripture that the baptism of the Holy Spirit was for today. And so it was on a Wednesday night at Florida Shores Baptist Church that I was in the back of the auditorium by myself. Nobody was around me. Nobody was praying for me. And I said, "Lord, I want to be baptized in the Holy Spirit." And the Lord really spoke to me. He said, "Well, you have a problem." I'm like, "Just one? That's good. That's good." You know. I said, "Well, what is my problem?" He said, "You always want to be in control. It's hard to be baptized in the Holy Spirit and make Jesus Lord if you have control issues." So the Lord quoted to me Romans 12, 1 and 2. Do you remember what it says?
Transformed by the renewing of your mind.
What else?
Present your body as a living holy sacrifice.
So I said, "Lord, I repent of my control and I present myself as a living sacrifice." And it felt like somebody took a baseball bat and hit me in the head. And I got flattened to the ground. And it felt like 220 volts of electricity were flowing through me for about an hour. I could not get up. I could not move. Now, none of this is good in a Baptist church. So the prayer meeting was over and people were leaving, looking at me vibrating on the floor. It was an exciting day. And so my wife goes walking by, and I'm like, "Karen, Karen, help." She knelt down and said, "Give him more, Lord." Then I found out my wife was a tongue-talking charismatic and never told me that. And so she was welcoming me to the club. So, you know, tongues are is the first gift that comes as a result of being baptized in the Holy Spirit. And so I wanted to speak in tongues, but I still had a problem. I'd been taught all of this stuff, and I had all this stuff in my mind saying this is not for today, it's not of God, and all this stuff, right? And then I thought, well, how does tongues work? Does God grab your tongue and make you do crazy things? How does it work? So one afternoon, on a Sunday afternoon, I'd really been praying and seeking the Lord. I fell asleep watching the Dolphins lose, as usual. And in my sleep, I had a dream. And in the dream, I was speaking in tongues, and I woke up speaking in tongues. God had to bypass my mind. Okay. And that's been a long time ago. That's 40 years ago. Okay. Since then, I would tell you, honestly, I'd probably speak in 3 or 4 different tongues One comes out in worship. One comes out in spiritual warfare and deliverance. One comes out in intercession. And so tongues is not a one-time event. Tongues should grow. Now, has anybody in here ever learned a language? Chad learned the Chinese. And he used some of his phrases last night. I was so proud of him, okay? And when you're learning a new language, do you get it all at once? What do you get? A little, maybe a syllabus? So here's, I have to explain this to people because they don't get this. Here's how it actually works. When you got saved by faith, you received your salvation. It's the same way with spiritual gifts or the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You receive it because you ask for it by faith, and you receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And it helps if you have somebody who can lay hands on you. Okay? But here's what happens with tongues. God will give you a few syllables in your mind, but you have to speak them. And if you don't speak them, you don't get any more. And what happens to every person I've ever met is they will start speaking these few syllables, and they'll think, well, that's just baby talk. No, that's the initial language. Okay? And so there are three kinds of tongues in the scripture. One is an actual language. So I was in Guatemala, and I was doing a spiritual warfare deliverance conference for a bunch of pastors who need deliverance the most usually. And this guy shows up from Central Florida that I'd never met before. His name was Paul Madison. And so Paul says, hey, can I join your little conference? I'm like, sure. Well, he was very Southern Baptist, very anti-Holy Spirit. So one evening, this little pastor, he's only like 5'2". I go there because I'm tall. He jumps up on a picnic table. He grabbed the 6-foot American missionary. And he doesn't even speak Spanish. He speaks a mountain dialect called Pokanchi. And he starts prophesying over Paul in perfect English. He thinks he's speaking in tongues. We're hearing him in perfect English. And he shouts over Paul, the Lord God says, we're all like, well, you don't speak English, you know? Then you must get filled with the Spirit, blah, blah. And Paul really got filled with the Holy Ghost that day. He ended up being a missionary in Indonesia as a result of that day. So it's an actual language. Then it's also a prayer language, okay? The scripture says we don't always know how to pray. We don't know. And the Holy Spirit will just pray through us. Okay? And that builds you up. The way I get stronger in my spirit is by speaking in tongues. The scripture says it's like taking Popeye and spinach. Okay? It will make you spiritually stronger. So I speak in tongues all the time. I mean, all of the time. And it makes my spirit stronger and stronger and stronger. And if I'm struggling with my thoughts or I'm struggling with circumstances or things going on in life, I naturally just start speaking in tongues. And it quiets all the junk down. And it clears my mind like you can't even begin to imagine. Okay? So that's just the third type of tongue is where it's a message given in a corporate setting, like, if somebody gave a message in tongues here, then it has to be interpreted. I've done both of those. Does that make sense? Okay. So if you don't speak in tongues and you want to speak in tongues, today could be your day for that to happen. Okay. All I have to do is lay hands on you, and all you have to do is speak what God gives you. It's that easy. Don't make it hard or complicated. It's a gift. How do you receive a gift? By accepting it. I mean, if I gave Karen a gift, wouldn't she just go, thank you? Isn't it that simple? Okay. You receive it as a gift. Okay? So after Jesus got baptized, it says in Acts 1:1, it talks about all that Jesus began to do and teach. It's not enough just to teach. It's not enough just to have mental information. We're supposed to, it's like show and tell when we were kids in school, okay? What have you got? Show me. And so I believe that we are supposed to demonstrate the power of the Holy Spirit as we go through our lives. And that's how you see signs and wonders and miracles happen. And you've heard some of my tales before. I could tell you stories for the rest of the day and never run out of stories of supernatural things that God has done because I got baptized in the Holy Spirit. Before that, I wasn't flowing in any gifts. And they are called the manifestation gifts of the Holy Spirit. Okay. So if you have the Holy Spirit, those 9 manifestation gifts can manifest through you. Gifts of healing, gifts of miracles, tongues, interpretation of tongues, words of knowledge, words of wisdom. Those manifestation gifts, what does manifest mean? To make evident, to be able to see, okay? So it's not enough just to talk about these things. They have to be seen. You guys are really quiet. Are we thinking hard here? Okay. All right. Luke 4:14, and Jesus returned after his baptism to Galilee in the power of the Holy Spirit. Bill, when it talks about the power of the Holy Spirit there, what word is that?
Probably dynamis.
And what does that mean? It's dynamite. So Jesus, his ministry became dynamite. It became powerful. Make sense? Okay. Luke 4:18, then Jesus said after all of that, he said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He said that after he was baptized in the Holy Spirit, because he anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, he has sent me to proclaim release to captives, recovery of sight to the blind, to set free those who are oppressed. That's our job description. I literally spend my life doing those things, praying for the sick, preaching the gospel, casting demons out of people, and dealing with people that are oppressed. That's your job description. And so that's what all of us are literally supposed to be doing in our lives as we go through our days. So Paul's example, 1 Corinthians 2, 4-5. My message and my preaching were not in persuasive words of wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, so your faith would not rest on the wisdom of men, but on the power of God. So Paul said, I didn't just share information. He demonstrated the power of God. And that's when God becomes real to people. Okay? When they see tangible things happen and see the Holy Spirit move on people, it makes the Holy Spirit so much more real. Acts 8:18, now when Simon saw that the Spirit was bestowed through the laying on of the apostles' hands, he offered money for it. So I looked up some scriptures that talk about the Holy Spirit coming upon people through the laying on of hands. And even in the Old Testament, I love this passage. Numbers 27:18. So the Lord said to Moses, take Joshua, the son of Nun. First Catholic in the Bible right there. Son of Nun. Are you doubting me? That hurts me, Karen, deeply. Okay. In whom is the Spirit, and lay your hand on him, and have him stand before Eleazar, the priest, and before all the congregation. Commission him in their sight, and you shall put some of your authority on him, in order that all the congregation of the sons of Israel might obey him. So Moses laid his hands on Joshua and gave him authority, gave him wisdom, gave him knowledge through the laying on of hands. Now, I keep saying laying on of hands because I want you to get in your minds, faith comes from hearing what the scripture says. And so as you're hearing this about the laying on of hands, if someone lays hands on you, you ought to have an expectation that something's going to happen according to the scripture. Does that make sense? Okay. Deuteronomy 34:9. Now Joshua the son of Nun was filled with the spirit of wisdom, for Moses had laid his hands on him, and the sons of Israel listened to him and did as the Lord commanded Moses. So people followed Joshua like they followed Moses, not because Moses said, hey, he's the guy now, but they saw something on Joshua's life. They saw authority, they saw an anointing, they saw what Moses imparted. Okay, so then we jump to Acts 19. It happened that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul passed through the upper country and came to Ephesus. He found some disciples and he said to them, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? And they said to him, No, we have not ever heard whether there is a Holy Spirit. And he said, and what then were you baptized? And they said, John's baptism. And he said, Paul said, John baptized with baptism of repentance, telling the people to believe in him who was coming, that is Jesus. And when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. When Paul laid his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came upon them. They began speaking with tongues and prophesying. So normal life for a believer is speaking in tongues and prophesying. Simply put, what is prophecy? 1 Corinthians 2, God gives you spiritual thoughts that you speak with spiritual words. That's really all it is. So your ability to hear from God is what makes it work. Okay? So that's how I pray all the time. I pray, Lord, give me your spiritual thoughts that I can speak with natural words so that people can hear what you have to say. So that's literally every time I speak somewhere, that's what I'm thinking to myself. So I can't think my thoughts and God's thoughts at the same time. I can't be speaking in English and speaking tongues at the same time. Right? So you can't speak in two languages at the same time. Okay? Now, a lot of people struggle with this tongues thing. I'm just telling you, over all these centuries, tongues seems to cause more division in the body of Christ than any other issue I've ever seen. And yet it's the least of the gifts. Why? What do you suppose?
Why does it have to come through the tongue?
It's the way God did it. When they all got, you remember what Jesus told them? Go and wait in Jerusalem, for the 40 days and 40 nights in the upper room. And then the Holy Spirit fell upon them. And one of the first things that happened is they began to speak with other tongues.
Can that spirit not speak in English?
He does. I used the example of a guy thought he was speaking in tongues was speaking in English. It's just God's choosing. It's just what he did. If you read the New Testament and you read the book of Acts and you read about Paul's life, all they spoke about speaking in tongues all the time. It's like shifting gears. You go to another level. So a good friend of mine, David Higginbotham, Bill, you remember David. We were driving down the interstate in Orlando. He was in a Dodge Colt, a piece of junk. It's a manual transmission. He shifts to fourth gear, and the tack is redlining. He said, David, shift to fifth gear. You're going to blow this thing up. He's like, this car's a four-speed. I've had it for 3 years. I said, David, this car has another gear. Push in the clutch. And I went, dink. He'd been driving with four gears instead of five for 3 years because he didn't know you could go to another gear. And that's the way tongues are. You can go to another spiritual level by speaking in tongues. And it will build up your spirit and make you spiritually stronger than anything else that I know of, other than just reading the Word of God. And it's just the way that God designed it to be. Okay? And so you go, well, it seems foolish. What does the scripture say about it being foolish, Bill? It seems foolish to men, but it's not foolish to God. Because it's supernatural. Don't you ever want to get involved in supernatural things? If you're going to be saved, why not? Okay. And it's just the first of the gifts. What I did is I made a list of the gifts of the Holy Spirit, all nine of them. And for years and years and years and years and years, I would ask the Lord, I'd specialize in one gift at a time until that gift started working in my life, just as a part of my life. It was just always there. And I can tell you, I've operated in all nine gifts of the Holy Spirit to this day, and I do that constantly. How much more will He give the Holy Spirit to those that ask? Desire earnestly spiritual gifts, especially that you might prophesy. So tongues is the first step to moving into a supernatural lifestyle. Right? Jesus told the disciples, you guys go wait, the 70 of them, you go wait in that upper room. Don't you dare try to do any ministry until the Holy Spirit falls on you. And that's what they did. And I'm sure people thought they were crazy. But I'm telling you, you guys, this needs to be a normal part of the life of a believer, according to the scripture. Now, you know what? Because of my background and all the Baptist things I was taught, this was hard for me. I'm not kidding you. This was so hard for me because I've been taught all these things that had passed away. So getting past all the educational things I'd been taught at Luther Rice Seminary and just trying to get outside of my natural mind to accept spiritual things was hard. 1 Corinthians 2 says that the natural mind does not accept the things of the Spirit because they're spiritually appraised. Okay, keep going. Mark 16:17-18. He who has believed, is that us? Everybody in here believed? Okay. And has been baptized shall be saved. But he who has disbelieved shall be condemned. These signs will accompany those who believed. In my name, they will cast out demons. Who's going to do that? Believers. Are we believers? Then a normal part of our life should be casting out demons. I do it all the time. Airplanes, Karen and I were on a train, and it happened on the train it's a long story. Anyway, I encounter demonic things all the time because they are out there. They are everywhere. Okay?
How do you
identify? I usually ask them their name. Okay. I look at weird behaviors. I look at people who are bitter and angry and won't forgive. That attracts the demonic more than anything else. I look for people who have strongholds in their life. Shame, bitterness, abandonment, rejection, lust, whatever a stronghold happens to be. There's usually a spiritual root behind it. So, and then discernment of spirits. So the Lord made life very simple for me. I'll never forget this. It helped me so much. When I was learning to cast out demons and discerning things, The Lord used red light, green light, yellow light. And that's how I learned. And somebody would say something to me, whatever, and I'd get a red light, and the Lord would go. It's as demonic as it can be. I'm with somebody else, and I'm getting to know them, and I get a yellow light. I'm with other people, and I get a green light. They're good to go. So that's how God spoke to me. But when you discern things, you have to discern, is whatever you're dealing with, is it of God? Is it the flesh? Or is it the devil? Those are your three options. The world, the flesh, and the devil. Okay? There are no other options. And so that's how I think. Red, yellow, green. And so when I'm with people and I'm discerning and picking up things, especially with people I don't know, this is how I think. This is how I operate. When they talk to me and I'm listening and discerning, who is that person? What's going on in there? Are they really saved or not? They will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. So I didn't make this stuff up, you guys. They'll pick up serpents. If they drink any deadly poison, it won't hurt them. They'll lay hands on the sick and they will recover. So I think this is supposed to be a normal lifestyle for a believer. This is just normal. But we can't get past tongues most of the time, which was the least of the gifts. Paul said, desire the greater gifts, desire to prophesy. Why is prophecy so important? Because it's God speaking directly to his people. Okay, let's keep going. Romans 1:11-12. For I long to see you that I might impart some spiritual gift to you, that you might be established, that is, that I might be encouraged together with you while among you, each of us by the other's faith, both yours and mine. He says, I want to impart a spiritual gift to you. How does that happen? Through the laying on of hands. Doesn't always happen that way. God can just do it anytime he wants. Okay, but most of the time in the New Testament, it happened through the laying on of hands. It became a lifestyle for them. First Timothy 4:14. Do not neglect the spiritual gift within you, which was bestowed on you through the prophetic utterance with the laying on of hands by the presbytery. Do not neglect the spiritual gifts that God has given you. Okay? And so I made a list of those 9 gifts. And I mean for 30 years. I pursued different ones at different times. So I'll never forget, I had been asking the Lord for words of knowledge. What's a word of knowledge? It's when God gives you information that you can't possibly know about a person, a situation, and it opens up that situation. So I was in Texas ministry, and I really don't see that well. Okay, it was a big church. And the Lord said to me, there's a couple on the back row. He's in a blue sports coat. He's a carpenter. A piece fell off some scaffolding, damaged his shoulder badly. He can't work. His arm is in a sling. His wife is next to him, and she's barren. So you know what? I stood up and said, this is what the Lord says. Is there somebody in the back row in a blue sports jacket? You got hurt at work yesterday, and your wife is with you, and she's barren. They stood up, took off his sports jacket. His arm was in a sling. That's a word of knowledge. Okay? And that causes faith to go from here to up here. So they both got saved. They became a part of that church. God healed his arm that morning. He could go back to work and support his family. And they had a child. I met the child. Now, what if I just kept that to myself? See, the gifts aren't for me. The gifts are for other people. People matter to God. I don't need all these spiritual gifts to make myself more spiritual. That's not the point. I need these gifts to minister to people. That's the point. Right? Does that make sense to you? And so I went through the whole process with all these different gifts. And I'm telling you, it's one of the best times of my life. It stretched me beyond anything that you can imagine. The Lord would tell me things, have me do things. I'm just telling you, it's the way to live. There's never a dull day. There just isn't. Because you meet people, and the minute I meet you, I'm asking the Lord, well, who is this? What's going on with this person? Are they lost or saved? Do they need help? Do they need deliverance? What's going on? And I just jump in. And it's fun. People get saved all the time. Okay? So, I told you my Moses story the other night. So, I'm so glad I met Moses. What if I kept my mouth shut? See, that was a word of knowledge. God told me his name. So, I was ministering in outside of Memphis. I was in a black church, and we were having church. I'm telling you, when I was preaching, I had organs behind me, and I mean, it was church. And you got to, when you preach in that church, you can't preach like I am now. You got to learn how to do hoop. You got to hoop. And the Lord says unto thee. And I got good at it. I don't know if it was spiritual. I had more fun than I'd ever had in my entire life. But the anointing in that church was so strong that when people came forward, I was this whole group of ladies, I'll never forget, like 25, 30 ladies, the Lord told me their names. And it's not like Karen and Joe. It's like Lucretia. Do you hear what I'm saying? But because God told me their names, their level of faith went from here. How could this guy know that? Well, he couldn't. Well, that must mean it's supernatural. God wants to speak to me? Yeah. Right? So, to me, trying to live without the gifts of the Holy Spirit would be the most boring Christian life I could ever imagine. All I would have would be knowledge. Mm-hmm. I want more. I want spirit and truth. Okay. 2 Timothy 1:6. For this reason, I remind you to kindle afresh the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. So I can give you 40 scriptures about the laying on of hands, okay? It's everywhere in the scripture. Acts 13:1-4, they were at Antioch, you know this scripture. And in the church there were prophets and teachers, and Barnabas and Simeon, who was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manaen, and who brought with Herod the tetrarch, and Saul. While they were ministering to the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, now how do you think the Holy Spirit said something? He spoke through a person. So there was a prophet there who begins to speak. The Holy Spirit said, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work which I have called them. Then when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. So being sent out by the Holy Spirit, they went down to the Seleucia. From there, they sailed to Cyprus. So the Holy Spirit said, set apart for me these men for this purpose. And then the Holy Spirit said, lay hands on them so that the gifts of God are stirred up new and afresh in them. Okay? So I have a rule wherever I go in the world, if there are people praying for other people and they have an anointing, I get prayed for. Always. I want as much of the Holy Spirit as I can get. So the most embarrassing moment of my life, we were in Dallas. And there had been a great revival in Argentina. I mean, unbelievable. It was a revival of holiness. And I had never seen anything like this. And so we're in a Dallas, and we're in this giant place. Must have been 10,000 people there, something like that. So I'm standing over by the stairs that goes up and down the stage, and I don't speak Spanish, so I can't really communicate with the Argentinians. But anyway, one of them went by me with one finger. He goes, dink, on my head, dink. I began to hop up and down on 1 foot at 1,000 miles an hour and spin around like I was in a rodeo. And they got it on the big screen. But I'm telling you, I walked away from that meeting with such a fresh anointing. I'll never forget it. So I get prayed for wherever I can, as often as I can. Because I want as much of the Holy Spirit as I can get. Okay, so I listed five things. I think Bill put them in your notes. Purposes for the impartation through the laying on of hands that you find in the scripture. Number one, to minister healing to the sick. Number two, for the baptism of the Holy Spirit and the gifts. Number three, to impart spiritual gifts. Number four, to send out apostles and missionaries. Number five, to ordain deacons and elders in the local church. Those are the five things I find in the scripture that happen through the laying on of hands. Make sense? Now, for the fun stuff. To me, this is the fun stuff. Okay. What time are we supposed to be done, Reverend? You?
Anytime.
Okay. You guys tell me if I'm going on too long, because I can do this all day on this subject, okay? Okay, so I was in Indonesia, and I had like 75 young people who were all going out to be missionaries. And I've been with them for a week, and I began to grieve deeply in my spirit because the Lord said to me that a number of them would be martyrs. And they were going to Muslim communities all over Indonesia. And Indonesia is the biggest Muslim population in the world. And there's like 17,000 islands. And so it was, I'll never forget, it was like a Saturday night. I'm so grieved in my spirit because I know that some of these young people will be martyrs. And I'm in the back of the room and I'm crying out to the Lord desperately. Lord, what could I do to prepare them for what they're going to experience in the next few months? And in a moment, I mean, only God can do this. In a moment, God said, teach them the seven ways that they can see the Holy Spirit move. I'm like, oh, well, I would, but I don't know what those are. And he gave them to me just bam. Okay? So, scripturally speaking, how can you see the Holy Spirit move? How does the Holy Spirit move? Number one, the hovering of the Holy Spirit. Gabriel's talking to Mary, behold, you'll conceive in your womb and bear a son. You shall name his name Jesus. He'll be great. He'll be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God, give him the throne of his father David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will have no end. And Mary said, this is the question now. Look at the question. Mary said to the angel, how can this be? How can this supernatural happen? That's her question. Since I'm a virgin. And what was the answer? The angel answered and said to her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. And for that reason, the Holy Child shall be called the Son of God. So the first way that I teach people on how to begin to move in the gifts of the Holy Spirit, I call the hovering of the Holy Spirit. It's where it's what Gabriel said to Mary, the Holy Spirit can come, and I'll pray for people, and I'll say, Holy Spirit, will you just come and rest upon Bill today? Will you just hover over Bill today? Would you do something supernatural in Bill's life today? And I just ask, Holy Spirit, will you just come and hover? Come and rest upon. Because obviously, unless the Holy Spirit does it, nothing supernatural will ever happen. Do we agree? Okay. And so I talked to you guys a little bit the other day about soaking prayer. This is what we do in soaking prayer. My teams are taught All they do, and it doesn't matter if the people are up there for physical illness, torment, it doesn't matter what it is, the answer is the Holy Spirit. And so my teams have been taught, you come up and you pray that the Holy Spirit would rest upon them, would hover over them, and you soak them in the Holy Spirit. And that's when we see more things happen in terms of people getting healed than anything else. Make sense? Now, who could do that?
God can do this.
Everybody in this room can do this. You can pray like that. You can ask the Holy Spirit to come and rest upon someone. I ask the Holy Spirit to come and hover over me all the time. Okay. So, number two, the Bible says that the Holy Spirit is a river flowing through us. John 7:37. On the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, "If anybody's thirsty, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture said, from his innermost being will flow rivers of living water." And so, practically speaking, this is how this works. When I lay hands on something, on somebody, it's not Joe trying to do something. I have a river in me. And I pray and I say, Holy Spirit, let the river of God flow. And I'm telling you, there have been times that I've experienced that where the river of God just powerfully came out of me. And just, I can't begin to describe you what happened. And so that's that little song we used to sing. I have a river of life flowing out of me. Okay. And so I have a river in me. You, if you got the Holy Ghost, you got a river in you. And rivers can pretty much move any barrier in the way. And so when I was learning some of these things, I said to my daughters and my wife, where do you guys want to go on vacation? Like, we want to go whitewater rafting, blah, blah, blah. So we went to North Carolina. And I pushed a yellow raft down the river because the water level was low. Twisted my ankle, got cut up and beat up. And so the next year, where you guys want to go? We want to go whitewater rafting. I'm like, do I look that stupid to you? I'm not doing this again. But my girls usually win. So we went whitewater rafting again. Well, this year, the level of the water was high. And every barrier from the year before, we just floated over it. So how do you get past the barriers and all the hard things of life? Raise the level of the water. Okay? And so, because the water was high, I chose not to get in the big yellow raft, but I chose a kayak, which I'd never done before. So I'm flying down this river. I mean, I'm flying. And I missed a turn. And I went over about a 25-foot waterfall. And I landed upside down in the kayak. And I had to learn how to flip the kayak over or die. It was so much fun. And so, raise the level of the water. Or step on every rock, every problem, every stone, and cut yourself and get bruised. Who can do this? Anybody who has the Holy Spirit has a river in them. You just have to believe it. Do you think I'm crazy yet? Is all this biblical? Is it biblical? Okay, that's the second way. The third way. The Holy Spirit is a mighty rushing wind. Acts 2:1-4. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they all together in one place, and suddenly there came from heaven a noise like a violent rushing wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting, and there appeared to them tongues of fire distributing themselves as they rested on each one of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. So the Holy Spirit is like a wind. Okay? And so the word Spirit is pneuma, P-N-U-E-M-A, pneuma. That's the word for spirit. It's where we, that's where we get the word air guns, pneumatic tools, powered by air, right? OK. Okay? And so I read where Jesus in John 20:22, he said, after when he said this, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." This is when the disciples got baptized in the Holy Spirit. How did they get baptized in the Holy Spirit? Breath, pneuma, wind. So, what do? I blow on people all the time. And you may think that's the strangest thing you've ever seen, but you know what? I believe what the scripture says. There is a mighty, rushing, powerful wind in me. And so I was in Colorado ministering, and it was really late one night, and I'd been reading these scriptures, and I thought, I wonder if I can do that. And if I do that, am I going to get in trouble? I've never seen anybody do that before, but Jesus did that, right? So the last person that came forward for prayer, a rather large lady. So I'm looking around, nobody's watching me. They got it on video. I put my hands behind my back, and I said, in the name of the Lord Jesus, whew. She came up off the ground, flew 6 feet, and got filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And they got me on film going, yes, 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 it worked. And so ever since then, I've been blowing on people. I do it all the time. Why? Because the Holy Spirit is a river and a wind. So to me, these are just tangible ways that I can use to see the Holy Spirit move. So I was in Spain, and we were doing a prophetic service in a Muslim neighborhood. And all the people that came were like 100 people that night. They were all Muslims. And a guy come busting through the back door. He had an AK-47, a rifle. He's screaming, "Allah Akbar," and he's coming to get us. And I'm thinking, okay, here we go. And Ray, one of my friends, was with me, and Ray points at him and says, "The Lord says you were molested by your uncle when you were 7 years old, and that's why you hate." That word of knowledge dropped that man to the ground. I go down there, removed his rifle, and ministered to him for 3 minutes, and he got saved. And then that man jumped up, threw his arms up in the air, and he shouted, "Jehovah is God." And it started a revival. And so I'm not allowed by their customs to talk to a woman there, right? So I have 30 ladies there, 35 ladies, and they all have on these black burqas and all this stuff. And I'm like so grieved for these ladies. I so want them to get saved. So I'm walking around them in a circle, and I'm praying that God would remove the veil of darkness over their eyes, that they could see the light of the glory of the gospel of Christ. And I'm really in heavy intercession praying for all these ladies with burqas on. And they started taking these things off. And I mean, they got saved. I mean, the whole group got saved. Everybody that came to that meeting that night got saved. So now I know they have to go back to their families who are not going to be happy about this. So I'm like, Lord, what can I do to help these ladies? What can I do? I can't even speak their language. The Lord said, impart the Holy Spirit. So they're all standing in front of me without even thinking about it. I'm on the stage. I just leaned backwards, and I went, all of them came up off of the ground and flew into the wall and got baptized in the Holy Spirit and started speaking in tongues. And so you might think I'm weird, but you know what? Those ladies changed, their lives changed forever that night. Who can do this? Everybody in this room can do this. If you have the Holy Spirit, He's a river in you and He's a wind in you. So when I do Holy Ghost services, all I'm asking the Lord at any given time, which one of these ways do you want to impart the Holy Spirit tonight? Does that make sense? Okay, that was the third way. Remember, I got all this in less than 60 seconds in Indonesia. The Holy Spirit gave this to me. All right, number four, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And when all the people were baptized, Jesus was also baptized. And while he was praying, heaven was opened, and the Holy Spirit descended upon him in a bodily form like a dove, and a voice came out saying, you're my beloved Son, whom I'm well pleased. So we have the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And I've already shared with you how that happened to me. Number five, Acts 10:44. While Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit fell upon those who were listening to the message. The Word of God is alive. It's alive. And if you will speak the Word of God under the unction of the Holy Spirit, it will tangibly change people. Because it's the only book in the world that's alive. There's no other book like it in the world. If you would sit down with your scripture, and you ask the Holy Spirit to speak to you, I can't get through three or four verses. There's so much there. So the Word of God's alive. And the Word of God is sharp, and the Word of God is powerful, right? Okay? So man, we preach with an anointing. We preach the gospel. Number six, we talked about it all evening or morning. The laying on of hands. 1 Timothy 4:14, don't neglect the spiritual gift within you, bestowed upon you through the prophetic utterance with the laying on of hands. So the laying on of hands. So my primary gift is prophetic. And if we were in a service where the Holy Spirit was moving in people's lives, I could say to the people in the audience, if you sense that the Lord wants you to have the gift of prophecy, you can come up here and I can lay hands on you and you can receive the gift of prophecy. I can impart that which I have. Now, I could never impart a teaching gift like Bill has. You can impart what you have. Okay? Through the laying on of hands. And I have done this tens of thousands of times. Okay? Who can do this? Everybody can do this. Why not? Number seven, my favorite. I met a man from California. His name was Emmanuel Canastracy. And this man was in his 80s when I met him. He's passed away now. But he would walk around bubbling in the Holy Spirit. I've never met a man like him. He was just always praying in the Spirit. He was just always just full of the Holy Spirit. And to just be around him affected me. I mean, just one day he goes, Brother Joe, I need to take you for a walk. I'm like, yes, sir, whatever you want, I want to go with you. And man, just being by him. So Acts 5. And all the more believers in the Lord, multitudes of men and women, were constantly added to the church, to their number, to such an extent that they carried the sick out into the streets, laid them on cots and pallets, so that when Peter came by, at least his shadow might fall on any one of them. And also the people from the cities in the vicinity of Jerusalem were coming together, bringing people who were sick or afflicted with unclean spirits, and they were being healed. The overflow of the Holy Spirit. I am so filled with the Holy Spirit that when I encounter people, they feel it. Now, I've not met very many people like this. Emmanuel is the only one I ever met that was quite like this. And I just absolutely love that man to death. But he taught me so much. He's like, Brother Joe, just keep praying in tongues. And he calls it bebopping in the Holy Ghost. He almost hops when he walks. He's so full of the anointing and power of God. And to be around him is to be changed. I've never seen anything like him. And so when I'm overseas, this is how I'm thinking. Man, I need an overflow of the Holy Spirit. So I was ministering in Chicago recently, and church hasn't started. And I'm walking down an aisle, not really thinking about much, and a lady that I don't know reached out and touched me. And I stopped, and I turned and I looked at her, and I said, your prayers have been answered. Well, she was barren. And that week, she got pregnant. and had her first baby. Supernatural things happen when people are full of the Holy Ghost. Other people see it. And these are seven ways that you can do this stuff. I do it all the time. This is how I think as I go through my days. When I go to churches and nations and preach and do all that stuff, this is how I think. So we just did a tent revival. I'd never done one in my life. I found out I was doing it the day before we did it. The pastor said, yeah, you're doing a tent revival. I'm like, I don't have white shoes or a white belt. I can't be doing no tent revival, you know. So you know how it went? We had incredible worship. And then the Lord just started giving me words of knowledge about people in the audience. There's somebody here and your tooth is so sore, you're feeling nauseous. Well, they came forward, got prayed for, and God healed their tooth. And so, like, that just kept happening all evening. I never even got to preach. Word of knowledge after word of knowledge after word of knowledge after word of knowledge. Because what does it do? It causes the faith level to go up. And that's when people start getting healed and set free. Well, that's a spiritual gift. I have that gift because I asked for it. Not once, many, many, many times, and sometimes for many years. The gift of miracles. Wouldn't you like to walk up to somebody in a wheelchair and they get up? I mean, would you like to do that? And so I've experienced that. And so we're supposed to live a supernatural life. And this is the way it happens. And everybody here can do this. I'm not special. You're special, Tom. So anyway, Pastor asked me to share with you how I do things in the Holy Spirit and stuff. And this is how I do them. So what I wanted to do now is if you, I don't know if you guys speak in tongues or not, or if you operate in spiritual gifts. I don't know. But they're getting food ready and all of that, and you can go into the dining room and get ready to have lunch. But if you want for me to lay hands on you for the speaking of tongues or to impart a prophetic gift or, you know, whatever, I'm just going to stay in here for a little while, and I'll just pray for whoever wants that. Does that make sense? Do you think I'm crazy?
No, I don't think you're crazy. So when I was, the day I was saved, I prayed with an Episcopal charismatic priest up in Michigan in 1975. And as we were sitting at the altar, just two of us praying to receive Christ, and so he started speaking in tongues. So I didn't do what I would consider nothing but babble. That was kind of it.
Yeah.
And then years later, after having a period of falling away, and then I ended up, after leaving East Mountain Vineyard to try to keep my marriage together, went to a charismatic church in Albuquerque, where to them speaking in tongues,
it's all the time.
But there was all kinds of weird stuff going on there that made me very skeptical.
Yeah, I understand.
And they had the same opinion that you do. Everybody can speak in tongues.
Yeah. Everybody wants to.
And I have just doubted that I was really speaking in tongues.
But see, the issue, everybody doubts, just so you know. And the issue is not speaking in tongues. The issue is getting baptized in the Holy Spirit. That's the issue. And tongues is just simply the manifestation of being baptized in the Holy Spirit. And so I had that initial time where I was baptized in the Holy Spirit, but I've had hundreds and thousands of times of being filled fresh with the Holy Spirit. That's just a normal part of life as I go through life. So I don't never view anything as a one-time experience. I want as much as the Holy Spirit as I can get. And I go through different seasons of life. I feel like I'm a bucket that leaks. So I need fresh water, you know what I'm saying? Because of what happens. I was 8 years old, and my Uncle John and Wanda took me to Chicago to their church. I was hiding under the pew, and that entire church of 600 people were speaking in tongues. And I thought I had just entered an insane place. Scared me to death. But see, when you go into church services in charismatic or Pentecostal churches and you hear people speaking in tongues, Baptist people, traditional people would say, oh, you can't be doing that because they have to be interpreted. No, they're not. They're not giving a message to the church. They're praying for somebody, or they're just building up their own spirit. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
How much more will he give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? And I believe that God gives us tongues, which seem really foolish, to get past our control and our pride. I really do, because it seems like foolishness. But I'm telling you, after having prayed in tongues for 35 or 40 years, I probably wouldn't be existing without it, because it makes me spiritually stronger.
You know what you're saying when you're praying in tongues?
No. It's a heavenly language. And the great things about tongues is demons can't understand them either. So, you know what, guys, if you're comfortable in your life and you don't ever want to speak in tongues because you have reservations or something, you know what, I get it. I went through all that too. But go back and do what I did. Search the New Testament for yourself. I wrote down every verse that talked about the Holy Spirit for a year. And I mean, I became convinced out of the scripture. So the baptism of the Holy Spirit, speaking in tongues, is the first step toward all the other gifts. I like gifts of healing. Right? I mean, I like all the gifts. They're my tools. I grew up working in my dad's shop. He paid me $20 a week as boys. He taught us everything he knew. And $15 a week we had to spend on tools. I'm like, $15 out of my 20? You know, we worked after school and weekends and stuff. And by the time I was 20, 25, I had a master set of Snap-on tools. When you're fixing things, you need the right tool to do the job. When I'm trying to help people, I need the right tools. And so I view the gifts of the Holy Spirit. These are my tools. And without them, I can't help somebody. I was dealing with a lady who, she had so much fear in her, and the fear was getting stronger over time. And it reached the point that her husband couldn't leave and go to work because of fear. And she'd been to psychiatrists, she was on all kinds of weird medicines, antidepressants and all kinds of stuff. And so I started ministering, and she was genuinely saved. So I started ministering to her, and a word of knowledge came. The Lord said to me, her great-grandmother was stranded on an island for 15, 18 days, something like that. And all the women of this family, for generations now, have struggled with that fear of being abandoned. So I said to her, do you know anything about your great-great-grandmother? She's like, yeah, she was stranded on an island. And that's where that spirit of fear came into the women of that family. You know what? She got totally set free, never struggled again. What would I do without a word of knowledge? How can I help? I mean, people's lives are so complicated. And the stuff they've gotten involved in and the stuff they've done. Man, without the gifts of the Spirit, I can't do too much. I just can't. So I go into doing personal ministry or counseling or deliverance, whatever you want to call it, with fear and trembling. Because Holy Spirit, if you don't show up and speak, what can I do? Right? So anyway, that's kind of my story in the Holy Ghost, okay? And I could tell you stories all afternoon about all this stuff. But it's made my life a supernatural life. Not every day, of course, but man, as I go through my life, I could write volumes of stories of things I've seen God do. And it is so much fun. It is so much fun in the kingdom of God. I mean, I have a ball in the kingdom of God. You should see me when I go to India and other countries where I don't have to deal with the Western church mindset and I can just go for it. That's when I'm free. Do what?
What do you mean by that?
I don't have to worry about it. I go, and somebody flies 6 feet, they don't care. In America, they look at me like I'm an idiot. Right? You understand what I'm saying? And so it's like I can put the pedal to the metal and I walk out to a crowd of people and I just go for it. You know, so demons screaming, people convulsing, people throwing up, people getting set free, people all over the place. I mean, it looks like a war zone when it's over. So to me, that's the best, that's the best time of life. It's when I have no Western church mindset hindrances or religious people judging me. I mean, if Jesus blew in somebody. Now, I have never spat on the ground and made some mud and put it in a blind man's eyes. What do you suppose Jesus did weird stuff like that?
He said he only did what the Father showed him.
Yeah. Exactly. You live by the Holy Spirit and you walk by the Spirit, right? That's how you live your days. Amen? Amen. So I'll be here another hour or so. We're going to have lunch, hang out. If I can pray for you, I'm here and I'd be happy to do that.
This is a very good thing.
Thank you.